Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, let's get right to it. This past weekend, the Packers had their annual family night practice under the lights at Lambeau Field. 63,000-plus in attendance. It wouldn't be family night without a weather delay or a weather issue of some kind, but the Hardy folks stuck it out, the roughly one-hour delay before the football action got going. But when it was all said and done, I think a pretty good time had by all.
Yeah, I think so. And one thing I want to start with, Mike, and I don't know how much you're into movies. I'm into probably too many of them.
Okay.
But the thing that was funny about it, pulling up to Lambeau Field for the first time, I'd say I got to the stadium right around 2 o'clock, what I consider to be somewhat early. And it's sort of like that part in the movie where, like, it's completely quiet, and then, like, the main character, like, walks through the forest, and there's, like, a billion people there. That's what happened. It was incredible. I'm going down Ridge, and then as soon as I got right near Lombardi Avenue, the cars bustling, how busy everything appeared to be. Football's back.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that really, you wait for it, and you have the training camp practices, you go through the emotions of it. But until you get to that family night, that's pretty much the first part of it where it's like you could tell people are ready for football again. And when it comes to game day-like atmospheres, I don't think you could have done one better. People were excited.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll talk a little bit later in the show about some individual players maybe that we took notice of during the practice. But from a crowd standpoint, I really felt the crowd get into it when Brett Hundley was leading that two-minute drill with the number two offense coming down the field, and it wasn't pretty. It wasn't the most efficient thing in the world, but he had to overcome a drop pass on third down, then completed a pass to Jamal Williams on fourth down to move the chains, and then a false start penalty when he's in goal to go moves him back a little bit, but then he finds an undrafted rookie tight end Aaron Peck for a touchdown. You kind of feel the excitement of the crowd, and then Peck's teammates kind of had to say, hey, you know, go do the Lambeau leap, like this is your chance. And you could definitely feel the energy in the building.
Yeah, it's fun to always see that for the first time, the undrafted rookies. There's always one. I remember, I think it was Jonathan Amosa a few years ago, the undrafted fullback
right?
Out of Washington.
Yeah.
He ended up scoring a touchdown and kind of was just like looking around for a second, sort of that wide-eyed look of, okay, what do I do now? And I think Brett Hundley was among that group of Packer players telling him, well, you got to do the Lambeau leap now. So he jumped up there. A couple minutes later, Aaron Rodgers did his usual Lambeau leap with Randall Cobb, Josh Hawkins get involved.
Yeah.
So it was something, and you and I actually got a little flavor for it because we walked down to the field a little bit earlier to shoot our post show wrap-up for the website. And just the fans, the crowd, how into it everybody was. Nobody had left.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is you had the rain earlier, but that sort of led to this cool, like, Friday night football sort of feel. It just, everything about it felt special. And getting a chance to see Brett Hundley operate in those conditions too with the younger players, I think probably said a lot to where he is now at this point in his career.
Yeah, you talked about the Friday night football feel. You know, the grass was wet. You and I both covered high school football in earlier stages of our careers, and it definitely had that feeling, though I've never covered a high school football game with 63,000 people in the stands. But that said, you know, this was the first chance for a lot of Packers rookies, especially the guys from the smaller schools,
right,
to get a taste of that kind of atmosphere. The Packers have plenty of players who play at Big Ten schools and SEC schools. The big crowds, the bright lights are nothing new to them. But there are also these young guys trying to make the roster who are from the FCS schools, maybe even Division II. And they don't play in front of crowds like
right.
that. So this was another step along the way to what it's going to be like in a preseason game with a big crowd and the bright lights.
Yeah, I remember talking to a lot of people over the years, a lot of players from even some of these Division II schools. I think it's like Cody Hyman, I think, is from like Washburn, right?
I mean, some
of these smaller programs. And some of these kids, they only play in front of 1,500, 2,000 people on a given Saturday. It's not these 100,000, you know, big house type venues.
Right.
So to actually get inside Lambeau Field, not only is it eye-opening and is it a learning experience, but it also is incredibly motivating for a lot of these young guys who are trying to make the 53-man roster, trying to make their NFL dreams come true. And to your second point, now we're going to be talking about Justin Vogel, the rookie punter out of Miami, later in the show, but he even said in the locker room, yeah, you might punt in some of these big ACC schools and in stadiums, but there still is nothing like an NFL experience. There's nothing like being in that venue, understanding the history of Lambeau Field, and now your place in it. So regardless if it's player one and Aaron Rodgers or player 90 on the roster, there's something that can be taken away from that family night. And again, that's one of the reasons why Mike McCarthy is just so adamant about having that incorporated into his schedule every training camp.
Yeah, well, we'll get to some of our impressions about guys that we noticed during practice after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting next to Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, you wrote about him on our website Saturday night after practice, and that's tight end Richard Rodgers. He was one guy who definitely showed up and performed, sort of had that role in my mind of a reliable veteran target for the quarterbacks, because he was doing it for multiple quarterbacks throughout the practice, catching passes here and there. You know, the family night practice, we talk so much about, you know, the rookies in training camp and these guys trying to make the roster. Sometimes it's easy to forget about the veteran guys who still show up and put the work in and prove that they deserve and are going to have a role on this team going forward.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And the thing that was interesting is Rodgers was asked about that, but at the same time, he said that isn't his concern right now. They're going to get into the game planning stages. They're going to get into the scheme formats. Right now, his biggest thing is trying to show that not only is he a top player on this offense, but also he's a guy that can just help simply this team win football games. That's his primary motivation right now. He doesn't look at it as him and Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks, and they're all jousting for playing time. I think we've seen numerous times this offseason Mike McCarthy talk about how there's going to be room for all three of those players. They want to do more two tight end sets this season. And you look at Rodgers kind of with that clear-headed mindset, goes out there and I thought had a heck of a practice at Lambeau Field. The play that I think stands out to everybody, he was running down the seam, got open, and there, as he said, there probably was a defensive breakdown there, but not only Brett Hundley being able to get the football to him, just a perfect pass down the seam, but also Rodgers being able to look it in and then continue on in what would have been a 58-yard touchdown. It's one thing to be open, it's another thing to catch the ball, and Rodgers, time and time again over the last 3 years, has shown that that's something that he's incredibly skilled at, and really, somebody that can be relied upon to come up with those big plays.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that is easy to forget about Richard Rodgers is how consistent and sure his hands are. I mean, we all know the Hail Mary in Detroit in 2015 and how great a catch that was. But when's the last time we talked about Richard Rodgers dropping a pass that hit him in the hands? I mean, he pretty much catches everything that's thrown his way, and that goes a long way with quarterbacks and with coaches, that type of consistency and reliability. You mentioned the long touchdown, or what would have been a touchdown, that he had on family night. There was another similar play that was almost like a carbon copy of it, but a defender, and I can't remember exactly which defender it was. Yeah. Might have been one of the young linebackers, was able to just deflect the pass away.
I think it was Blake Martinez.
Okay, that could be it. But he was, again, open downfield for a big play, and credit to the defense. They didn't let it happen. They didn't let lightning strike twice there. But Richard Rodgers is a guy, I think, who's definitely worth keeping an eye on. And really, I think, from a personal standpoint, has handled everything about the attention to the new free agents, Bennett and Kendricks being brought in and sort of being the forgotten man in some respects at his position. He's handled it awfully well.
Yeah, he has. And the thing that's funny, too, if you know anything about Richard Rodgers, that's not an act. That's just the way he is. He just kind of is Humpty Doo, I think, is what Ted Thompson would say, right? Just going along Humpty Doo. But the one thing I want to touch on is that even though that's his mentality and he's focused on what's ahead of him, you go back to what Aaron Rodgers said at his locker this past week when, you know, he was asked about Bennett and Kendricks and what those guys are doing to succeed right now in this offense. And he praised both of them up and down for their experience and what they bring to the table. But then he also said, you know, don't forget about Richard Rodgers, because if you remember, this is a guy that for as much experience as Bennett and Kendricks both have, Rodgers is the one that's played in this offense for 48 consecutive regular season games. He's been durable, he's been consistent, and Aaron Rodgers trusts him.
Yeah, definitely. And another veteran pass catcher that caught my eye as I was watching it, and again, a guy that that, you know, is easy to maybe get lost in the shuffle a little bit, and that's Randall Cobb. Yeah. Now he's in what, his seventh season
now?
Seventh
season.
You know, family night is old hat to a guy like this, but he came out there like an old pro, was, you know, moving the chains, catching passes in the move the ball period. Nothing super flashy or super fantastic, but again, just being that reliable target for whatever quarterback needs to look to him in certain situations. And I thought he just, I thought he showed up and did really what he's done throughout the bulk of his career, which is be a guy that the quarterbacks can count on.
I've written about it, I've talked about it, but I mean, you look at how he finished the year last year, that's the Randall Cobb the Packers need. And, and he said, I mean, he did everything he can do this offseason to put himself in the best position possible to be healthy. Now, there's a lot of luck that's involved in that too, but he's really, really worked at it and tried to find ways to sort of streamline things. What excites me about Cobb this particular season, maybe more than any other, is just because of the multitude of options that they have. With Ty Montgomery now in the backfield, with Martellus Bennett in this offense, we saw a couple times in practice, I think it was on Friday night, where it was Bennett lining up right next to Randall Cobb. That's quite a pairing. I mean, they're different players, different body types, but both effective in the middle of the field. So the biggest thing for Cobb this year is going to be probably listening to his body. I mean, sometimes he's a little bit, I think he's too tough for his own good in trying to push himself and wanting to be out there and accountable to his teammates. With the amount of depth the Packers have, I think he sees the big picture. He understands he needs to be as close to 100% as possible for the long run. And, you know, along the way, with what he's done in practice, really showing these young guys on this roster exactly what to do it, and how to be effective.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that Randall Cobb brings to the table is that we know the Packers are going to go through injuries. Hopefully Cobb's stretch of injuries these last couple years are, you know, is over with, knock on wood. But when there are guys who go down and the offense is trying to figure out personnel and whatnot, Randall Cobb can line up anywhere you need him to. He can line up in the backfield. He can line up in the slot. He can line up out wide. This is a guy who can be really, really valuable to this offense. Even as you said, the ball is going to be spread around. I don't necessarily see him, you know, copying his 2014 numbers when he had that really big year with 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns. That's going to be hard, really, for anybody to do with all of these targets in the offense. But I think Randall Cobb is poised for a really good, strong season in 2017.
Yeah, and remember, he's a seventh-year veteran, but still only 26 years old. He'll first turn 27 later this month. So, I mean, a young player still ascending.
Yeah, definitely. Well, with that, Wes, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz over there. Wes, you mentioned him earlier in the show, undrafted rookie punter Justin Vogel out of Miami. We got to see him under the bright lights for the first time. The punting period that we saw, the Packers were mostly doing the, you know, kind of going in towards the end zone with the ball at midfield. So he's doing the pooch punt, that Aussie style, Australian style punt. Seems like all the young punters these days, like everybody's picked up on this. Like they all come into to NFL training camps having already done it. And Vogel looks like a guy who can do it as well.
Yeah, the thing is, Mike, when you're one of the top 32 punters in the NFL in the world, I guess you could really say, you have to be able to do that now. I think we've seen that come up in popularity over the last 7-8 years. It is the most effective way, at least historically, to be able to, you know, to get a team backed up. And I was impressed with what I saw from him. Like we talked about for a number of different occasions, he has a really good leg. I mean, there's a lot of leg talent there, I think is the expression they would use. But it's also about being able to, you know, position and being able to work the sidelines at times as well. And that was one of the things, I think, for the first time we really got a chance to see him do that. For, you know, going back to these practices, it's pretty much been straight up and down. Now there's a little bit more finesse involved with it. So a big learning experience for him, as we talked about, playing at Florida, playing at Miami. He's been in those kind of environments before, those loud environments, but now trying to take his style and acclimate that to the NFL level, got a chance to get a first taste of that on Saturday night.
Yeah, and the other job that Vogel is working on is being the holder for Mason Crosby. Now, the practice, the family night practice Saturday night, ended with Crosby doing a series of field goals, and not a good night for the veteran kicker. There were obviously some discussions going on. Crosby missed a handful of kicks from distances that he would normally make. And we'll see as the week goes on. We hear, you know, whether it was some issues with the hold or the snap. We've talked about it is a rookie holder. It is an undrafted rookie snapper. We hadn't seen any issues in practice up until Saturday night. Right. So I don't think anybody's pressing the panic button. I mean, we don't really know for sure what was going on. But they're definitely going to study the film and figure this out. And certainly I have no concerns about Mason Crosby. He's the kind of guy who can work through this. He's been through it all.
Oh yeah, he's a veteran. I mean, 32 years old now. I mean, it's not going to take a lot more than that to knock him off his horse, especially after what happened in 2012. Didn't get a chance to talk to him in the locker room afterwards about it, but I would assume at some point, you know, going forward, they might just decide to sit Mason during these family nights. It just seems like there's just something about it where it hasn't quite worked out. But before this, I think it was 22 of 23 or something.
Yeah,
like
he'd only missed one kick in basically three live field goal periods during practice during the week. He'd only missed one out of 23.
And that one was hit off the left upright.
Yeah.
So very close. And it was just a situation with this. It was left, it was right, trying to find the right spot for him. But he's going to get plenty of opportunities to still work that with Vogel going forward during camp. Obviously, Derek Hart, the new long snapper out of James Madison. Those are the things that you kind of expect this time of the year in terms of being able to work through some of those kinks. And to Crosby's credit, and you talked to him about this last week, this is something he's already been doing the last couple years. So it's just kind of taking that principle and now applying it to two other specialists.
Yeah, he's had to deal with the changes, and he's mentally prepared to deal with whatever comes his way. This is the first, you know, blip on the radar, I guess you'd say, as far as 2017 goes. But I think they'll get it smoothed out. Before we go to a break, though, Wes, let's take care of a little sponsor business. Today is a perfect day to fill up with some new Campbell's Chunky Max soup. Chunky Max is loaded with more meat than you can handle, a lot more. We're talking 40% more than a comparable chunky soup. So go on, fill up with new Campbell's Chunky Max soup. Campbell's Chunky Soup, the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, before we go, we'll talk about what really this week is in terms of training camp here moving forward. It's the transition week. It's the week where the Packers will move now from the playbook installation, which was the first eight practices, including family night. Family night was the last installation of the playbook for the offense and defense, into now the preseason mode, where you have a couple of public practices per week getting ready for the preseason games. The playbook, and for those who are wondering, the whole playbook installation thing, well, how do you install a whole playbook in 8 days? Well, the Packers have done this through the offseason program as well. Before they were really on the field, they were installing the playbook in meetings. Then through OTAs and minicamp and whatnot, they were installing and reviewing everything. So these first eight practices of training camp have been a review of everything they were doing during the spring. Now it's time to get ready to play preseason games and see which of these young players are going to make some serious bids for roster spots.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of planning that goes into this. If you go back and you listen to how Mike McCarthy spoke during the offseason program, you would have heard very similar terminology in terms of him talking about, okay, this was install 4 or 5. Once they get to this point, it's just all, you know, repeating that process and getting guys comfortable with what's being asked of them. The thing that stands out to me the most right now is the Packers really have kind of crossed that river now with training camp. You get through that first week and a half, not that it's all downhill from there, but it's now you actually get to start seeing what exactly you have and making judgment calls on playing time and that sort of thing. That first week and a half, is just basically just trying to get a feel back under you, get guys, you know, get some contact, get people back in the mindset of football.
Yeah.
Now the Packers move to the schedule where they'll have two public practices a week. They'll have their preseason games coming up. And that's really the time, Mike, because we can talk about who's stepping up, who's impressing us. But when you start to see exactly what that allotment of playing time is, who the coaches want to see in what particular instances, I think that's where you start to see, okay, this is what they're thinking and this is how they're proceeding forward.
Yeah, I think over the years, and I've covered Mike McCarthy's entire tenure as a head coach, it seems to me that he's gone to this more of, I guess you'd call it even a regular season schedule, but this preseason prep mode for these games. He's gone to it even earlier as time has gone on. And I think part of the reason for that is you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers who is not necessarily going to play much, if at all, in the first preseason game. So you want to actually get into the preseason prep mode early because this first game is a big opportunity right. for the young players to make an impression. And if you're just doing the quote-unquote normal training camp practices and not really preparing them for a little bit of what they might see from the Eagles and putting them, you know, in the right prep mode for that particular opponent, then you don't really know exactly what you're going to see on the field on Thursday night against Philadelphia. So I think all of that, you know, over the years and the state of the football team, you know, Rodgers and Nelson and Cobb and all these veteran guys, and you look at the veterans on defense, Clay Matthews, Mike Daniels, these guys don't need a ton of preseason right. snaps. They're going to get some probably in the second and third preseason games. But this first one is a showcase, much like the fourth one will be, for the young guys.
It will be. And I mean, if you remember, you know, 2 years ago, this is where we started to see that Brett Hundley was a legitimate player.
Yeah.
He admits himself, I mean, his offseason program, his rookie year in 15, was not the strongest. And then last year, well, Hundley, he's dealing with the ankle injury, and then suddenly, you know, Joe Callahan not only becomes a legitimate front runner for to be the number three quarterback, well, he ends up making the roster.
Right.
So
yeah.
This is where guys begin to distinguish themselves, the Jayrone Elliotts of the world, five sacks or whatever it was back in the preseason in 14. I mean, this is how guys really show that I belong and this is where I deserve to be. So who will that player be this year? You and I have some guesses. But overall, until you actually see it on the field, It's really hard to say at times, you know, who that guy's going to be.
Yeah, you mentioned it. We have some guesses, but that's really all they are right now is guesses. Because as we talked about, who at this point last year before the first preseason game was talking about Joe Callahan making the 53-man right. roster?
Kentrell Bryce.
Yeah, then you see what these guys do in the actual game setting. It completely changes your perception. So with that, we're going to sign off on Packers Unscripted. But be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team and of training camp on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. The team account is at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next time.